still words in the English language I cannot say. One of them is in this verse. God's, how do you say that word?
Varied
gift. It just will, I know I'm not saying it right. I struggle with that. But I believe God has given me the gift of teaching and preaching. Now, what do? Do I take what I struggle with and not do it? Now, I'm dyslexic. Dyslexics reverse numbers. I do the bookkeeping for Word of Life right now. You know, you learn when you are trying to rectify the reconcile books, you learn to pay attention to the ones and the twos. Guys, I don't make that mistake very often, very often, you know. But you know, because you have, I'm good at administration. I think through things, and God will use it. Even though I'm flawed in some areas of administration, I still take the gift that God has given to me, and I try to do it. Well, I'm trying to say, guys, we have talents. And as stewards of God, we are to be using those talents. Why? Because the chief end of man is to what? Glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. All right, I got to move on. Tithe. Now, Google today, should Christians tithe? And you will get over a million hits. Okay? Some Christian, evangelical Christians, do not like that word tithe. Anybody know what the word tithe means?
A tenth.
10%, simply. That's all that it means. Anybody know who was the first one mentioned in Scripture who tithed? Abraham, alrighty? When he met Melchizedek, the priest of God and king of Salem, he gave him a tenth of what he had. And apparently it was a part of the culture that you would give 10%. Tithing became law under Moses. Do you know who the tithe under Moses really was for, at least the first tithe, who it was for? The Levites. That's how God was going to support His work, His men, through the Levites. And do you know the Levites had a tithe? More on that later. To another group of people. But you know, the Jews took an act of worship and they messed it all up. Now, it's interesting. Not one of my ministries at Word of Life is to train people in support raising. You know, in America, you can get a tax deduction for giving to the church. But statistically, they say people give less than 2% of their income. Now, guys, are we to tithe? I'm not really talking about tithing. I'm using the word because it begins with T. I thought about using the word treasure, but tithe is a biblical word. We are to be giving. Why? Because giving is an act of worship. Paul, speaking to the Corinthians, said to this, "For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but it's an overflow in many thanksgivings to God." And so in Corinthians, Paul is writing to them, reminding them of a promise that they made, that they would take some money, put it aside to help meet the needs in Jerusalem. So yes, giving helps meet other people's needs, but it gives that overflow of thanksgiving. Tithing or giving is an act of worship to God. God has designed us to take a little bit that he has given us, to give back to Him. Now, how much should we give? I know I'm stepping on people's toes, right? Remember this. The person who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. The person who sows generously will also reap generously. Each person should do as he decided in his heart, not reluctantly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make every grace overflow to you, that in every way, having everything you need, you may excel in this work for good. Guys, how much you give is up to you and the Lord. It's between, God knows. We don't keep records. Now, if you're in America and you want a tax deduction, you'll keep records, all righty? But it's not a tax deduction here. God knows. But give for the right reason. Give for the right reason. Give because God loves it when we do. He loves a cheerful giver. Now, when we give, will God always meet our needs? I want to be honest with this. Because sometimes today's churches, they say if you give 100, you'll get 1,000. That's not necessarily true. Philippians 4:19. You know that verse. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. Now, this is a verse written in a thank you letter of the Apostle Paul for a missionary gift that was sent to him. The church of Philippi was one of his supporting churches. They gave to him twice when he was in Thessalonica, and now they have given to him when he was in Rome. They sent Onesimus with a gift, and he almost died delivering the gift. You know how easy we have it today, right, in getting our gifts. And so Paul is telling the Philippians, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. So yes, the principle there, God will supply our needs. But you got to look at verses 10 through 13 to look at what the needs are. Paul writes this, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that at length you have revived your concern for me. For you indeed were concerned, but you lacked no opportunity. Paul's saying, praise the Lord, you sent your gift. He was under house arrest in Rome. And perhaps having the gift now allowed him to continue to be under house arrest and not go to the dungeon, because he had to pay his own way in prison. I don't know the circumstances, but he says, thank you. Verse 11, not that I'm speaking regarding of need, but I have learned in whatever situation to be content. Verse 12, for I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. And in any and every circumstances, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. Do you know there were times when God did not provide a meal for the Apostle Paul? I just want you to know that. There was times God did not put money in his pocket to send somebody down to the market to feed him. Know that. Now, God didn't allow him to starve to death. Verse 13, he learned a secret, and that's the secret. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Often we hear people quote that verse, you know, climbing a mountain, I can do all things. You know, and yeah, God will help you. But Paul said, you know what? I can do all things. If God has chosen not to allow this gift from Philippians to arrive to me in time for me to buy dinner, so be it. So be it. Guys, so when we give to God, will he always meet your need? Yes. But you may need to refine what your need is. Okay? What really a need is. Guys, you cannot outgive God. Now, it doesn't mean he's going to return it 100-fold. But you can't outgive God. And my challenge to you is to give. Now, we said giving is an act of worship. We have a problem in today's world, and I do it. I give online. I support missionaries. And on the 15th of every month, I'll get an email from an organization, and I know that I gave. I support a few other people, and I support the church. But how do I do it? I can't remember the last time I actually put money in an offering plate. But remember, giving is an act of worship. So when you give, and whether it's online or whether it's in person, when you at least balance your account, stop and thank God that he has provided funds for you that you could help somebody else. Because giving or tithing, stick with my T's, is an act of worship. All right, we've got to move on. I know you've been here a long time. Last one is testimony. What is a testimony? This comes from Crew, the organization that Christine Weston is with. Every time you tell a story how you came to know, every time you tell a story how you came to have a personal relationship with God, you give honor and glory to God. He is pleased with that. That story is your Christian testimony. The story how God has changed your life and has brought you into a personal relationship with God. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to have an answer to everyone who asks you for the reason of the hope that is in you. But do this with gentleness and respect." A testimony is simply telling others how you asked Jesus Christ to come into your life. How you recognized once you were a sinner, but now you know you needed a Savior. And Jesus Christ, the one who paid the price for your sins. You may not have all the answers to everything else, but nobody can argue against my testimony. Because I know I'm saved. I know what happened. I've been doing my quiet time this week in John. And it says this, John 9, the blind man says, "One thing I know, once I was blind, but now I see." That blind man never saw Jesus because he was blind when Jesus put the mud on his eyes. But he heard his voice. And if you read John chapter 9, he got more and more confidence. Every time the religious leaders were debating with him about his sight, he got more and more confident. He kept giving his testimony. Every time he shared his testimony, he got more and more confident. He shared his testimony. If you're in church last week, you heard us sing the song, "You Will Know We Are Christians by Our Love." Anybody know the song? All right, it's an old song. Well, John 13, 34 and 35 says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. By this everyone shall know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Guys, if you want to start sharing your testimony, obey the new commandment. Love. And eventually somebody's going to say to you, "Why are you so different? Why are you being kind? Why did you let me go first? Why didn't you argue with me? Why?" Because that's what it says. As we love one another, then all men will know that we are my disciples. We have loved one another. And you will have the opportunity to share your testimony. Guys, key verse. "Moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful." My challenge to you guys and to myself is to be good steward of my time, my talent, my tithe, and my testimony. With Joseph's words, "But God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result." I don't know what's going through your life. I don't know what you struggle with. I don't know if you're short of time, short of talents, short of funds. Maybe you don't have a testimony for Christ. Maybe you don't know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. But we as believers are to be good stewards of what God has given us. And when will we know what God has done? I don't know. Who knows what God will do as you become a good steward of your time and your talents, your tithe and your testimony. And guys, I got my phone number up there. So here's my invitation. You want me to pray for you? Maybe you need to be a better steward of your time. Put your name in the text just in case you're not in my history, and I'll start praying for you. Maybe you're struggling with giving. I'll keep it private. I'll pray for you. And maybe it's your testimony. Maybe you're here and you're not sure you're going to go to heaven when you die. Send me a text. We'll set up a time to have a cup of coffee. Guys, and any people in the PST, Pastor Darrell, text us. So if you're doing the Building Discipleship course, we talk about challenge. And we talk about invitation, taking you out of your cozy zone into the hard zone. And yeah, I want to be a little hard, but we're here for you. And maybe God will reach the town of Muswellbrook through Brookside as we start being good stewards. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And we'd ask you to use your word in our lives. In your name we pray. Amen. Leone.